the third pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Dante Fowler, Jr., defensive end, Florida.
I'm excited about this guy. I mean, you know what? His personality and his spirit and the way he plays the game, it'll match a personality of our defense. You know, plays hard in practice, plays hard in games. Football is extremely important to him, and that's the kind of mentality you need.
I think we made the team happy. I think this is a young guy that, you know, defensively we can build around. He offers us a lot of flexibility.
I love what they did with the stadium and, you know, the new scoreboards and everything like that. Jacksonville is a great place. I love it.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, brought to you every Monday by Wild West Guns and Gold. Jaguars Today kicking off live at Everbank. We asked the Ozone to join us tomorrow rather than today because we want it to be me, Tony, and you out there. Want to give you as much chance as possible to react today, good or bad, to the draft. And it's funny, Tony, I hear Jeff say all the national pundits are giving him A's almost across the board. A B-plus from Kuiper stands out because it's the only one that's not an A.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I feel good about it. It's not. It wouldn't have played out the same way had I been in charge, but that's okay. Along the way, I thought value, wow, that guy, wow, that they're pulling guys that we know, guys that were rated highly, guys that fill needs, guys that are from big programs, all this stuff going on. But at the same time, I don't think everyone feels that way. I think you attract what you put out there a lot of times, and I feel positive about it. I know you talked about the selection of Fowler on Friday. We'll get to your thoughts on the whole draft, but, you know, listening to 1010XL, I was in Chicago until Saturday morning. When I flew back, I'm in the car, driving home for about 90 minutes throughout round 4 or 5, that kind of range. And, you know, the local guys that we have on, I got the feeling they didn't think it was that great. What are they doing? They didn't pick the guy I wanted to start with. And so what are they going to do to score points? Because they didn't get Amari Cooper, for instance. And I think that attracted a lot of like-minded phone calls. And that's fine. And my point being, because I like it, and I assume Tony likes it, doesn't mean you have to like it if you call up the program today. You know, just let's hear from both sides.
No, well, we're open to both sides. If you liked it or didn't like whatever they did in the draft, if you disagree with something they did in the draft. Look, we already said on Friday when we were just talking about the first round, we got rounds 2 through 7 to talk about today too. But on Friday when I talked to you about the first round, we both said we would have taken Leonard Williams.
Yeah.
If we were sitting there on the clock at number 3, we both would have taken Leonard Williams. I get the Dante Fowler pick. I understand why they took Dante Fowler instead of Leonard Williams or Amari Cooper. But you and I would have taken Leonard Williams. Maybe there's some things we would have done differently throughout the rest of this draft. But when you look at what they did in general, man. I mean, for a franchise that we've been stuck in this loop with Gene Smith for so long where it felt like they were drafting guys that you didn't have any relationship with, you didn't know anything about when they were coming in because of the schools that they played for. If nothing else, you got a bunch of guys you know. I mean, it's 6 names that you know right off the bat coming here to Jacksonville, played at schools that you know where they are, you know what they are, you know what the program is, and you know the level of football that they're playing at, which is a situation for Jaguars fans they haven't been in since Tom Coughlin left, in all honesty.
Tony, here's the undrafted free agents. Miami, Syracuse, Auburn, Oregon State, Maryland, Pittsburgh, Kansas State, and then Minnesota State. It's just exactly like the draft, right? It's almost to a man. It's power conference guys, and then you got the other guy in there, Chris Reed out of Minnesota State, 6'5", 300-pound guard, and maybe turn out to be the best of the bunch. Who knows?
Yeah, good luck, you know? Chris.
Good luck to all of them. Yeah. Now it's time to get on with the business of winning football. Like you said, I would have drafted Leonard Williams. I'm not going to belabor it. I mean, look, I understand the Fowler selection. May not have been the pick I made, but that doesn't make it a bad pick, I think, is my point. Now, had they gone way out in left field and grabbed a guy that most people had, you know, they done it all along, and that's not a shot on all along, but had they overreached on a guy that nobody thought was coming off the board that early, it'd be a different story. Yeah. Everybody thought Fowler was coming off the board early.
Say they drafted Shelton. I mean, we'd be sitting there going, what?
Right.
Where's that coming from?
Right.
But they didn't.
We talked about it Friday. The Washington Redskins had Fowler number one on their overall board. And I'm sure they were not alone. The Jags clearly had him number one among non-quarterbacks, so they wouldn't have taken him. Now, factoring in, as Dave Caldwell said, We looked at next year's draft. There aren't any pass rushers, basically. There's one guy they have a first-round grade on right now in next year's draft.
Yep.
You go back to the original comment, which you have echoed frequently from Dave Caldwell when he first took over. Your quarterbacks, your offensive line, your defensive ends, those are your premium positions that you want to grab. They've had three top five picks. They've spent it all that capital on those premium positions. So second round, would I have taken Yeldon there? I just laid it out. I probably would have waited on the running back. I would have gone a different direction. But I understand they have the conviction that T.J. Yeldon was a first-round player and the third guy on their board. They should go by their board, not by what I think. I don't have a problem with it ending up being Yeldon being the running back, and I do think it makes it easier when you get a guy in A.J. Cann, who a lot of people had projected as a top 45 pick in the draft. I think they might have gone safety there had Cann not been available. Yep. Caldwell said they were really looking to fill needs with the first three picks. And then they end up getting Sample in round four, passing on Rashad Greene. Well, Rashad Greene falls in on round five. I'm watching ESPN for about 2 hours. They're going, Michael Bennett, best player available. Michael Bennett, best player available. And then, lo and behold, in round six, the Jags draft the guy who has been out there as the best player available the whole time. So, yep. You know, look, I liked it. Could it have gone a completely different way? Sure, it could have. They could have gone the Amari Cooper route. They could have done this. They could have done that. Had they done that, they probably don't get help in the pass rush to the degree that they think they're going to get. You know, you had to give something to get something, right? You've only got so much capital.
You only got one first-round pick.
Got one. Well, they had one pick in every round until right. The Jets gave him a gift seventh-rounder on top of that as well. Was there any thought to when they got a free seventh-rounder that they would draft Lyle Collins out of LSU? And just, I mean, I wouldn't have faulted any team who spent a seventh round pick and said, look, we don't know if the guy's guilty or innocent. If he's said to be a suspect, we'll drop him like a bad habit, right? But if he's not, we just stole a guy who might have been a first round value in the seventh round. I wouldn't have had a problem with it at all if any team had taken a shot on him. And his agent played it smart by saying, if you draft us, we're not going to sign. Because he definitely would have signed. Because guess what? You can't go back in the draft once you get picked. He's not going to sit out for this entire season, not make any money, and go back in next year's draft. What he wanted to do was pick the team in the situation where he could sign as an undrafted free agent if he didn't get picked in the first three rounds. Regardless, he's somebody else's issue, at least for now. Nick Marshall, guy who some people had predicted in our Predict the Pick contest they might actually draft. They ended up signing him as an undrafted free agent. Tony, at some point, if Blake Bortles struggles in the first month of the season, guarantee you. Before then, at some point this offseason, we're going to get calls about how come they're not letting Nick Marshall take snaps at quarterback. How come? Oh, my goodness. I get to see that coming now. That's an issue for further on down the road. 641-1010 is the number today. If you want to weigh in on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler, just give us your overall impressions of the draft class. Good or bad, that's what we're looking for. Not looking for everybody to join in lockstep and say, wow, this is phenomenal. They're going to go 10-6 this year. Say what's on your mind about it, and we'll get as many as we can up on the show today and get your feedback. Dane Brugler will join us later to kind of recap. He loved what the Jags did. But,
yeah,
you know, look, we could have picked anybody out there who's a national draft pundit. They all loved what the Jags did, okay? Brugler likes them better than anybody in terms of out of all 32 teams, thought they nailed it above every team in the National Football League this year. So high praise coming down. We've seen plenty of draft classes that were lauded that fall flat. We've seen draft classes that were questioned that turned out to be outstanding. None of it matters now. It's just our impressions of it. Go play football. That's what really matters. So we'll talk about that today. We'll take your calls. Glad to be back here from Chicago. Had a great time up at the draft over the last few days on Thursday and Friday broadcasting and just hanging out, having a good time. Never been to Chicago, Tony. I think I'm spoiled because I don't think they typically get that run of weather that they had. It was
pretty good, yeah.
Low 60s and sunny and with very little wind. Hard to beat in any city, certainly in the Windy City, and the locals could not believe what was going on with the weather in terms of how good it was. So with that out of the way, let's get to your impressions coming up next. 641-1010 is the number. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank on Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
I think that if you look across the board, every position group was strengthened either through free agency or the draft. You know, and I think that just, you know, it's bound to happen. Most teams can say they did that, but I think it's just an overall feeling of competition with each room, and that's always good.
Here's the thing, Tony, just to not belabor it so we can get to these phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Take the off season as a whole, okay? How did they help Blake in this draft? Well, beside the fact that they drafted a running back, which helps a quarterback if you can get a good ground game going, and a lineman, they brought in two other linemen who maybe figure to start. One of them certainly, the other one will contend to, and one of the best pass-catching tight ends in football. So they don't just look
receiver
at the weekend.
Yeah.
And a slot receiver in Rashad Green, right, who was extremely prolific in college.
And I get it. I was talking to a lot of fans over the course of the weekend as the draft was going on, and I could feel the anxiousness from the draft Amari Cooper crowd. I understood why there were a lot of fans out there who wanted to see this team take Cooper, but when he didn't come off the board with that first pick and then they skip on wide receiver in the second round, they draft an offensive guard in the third round. I'm watching overnight on Friday as a bunch of fans were freaking out about when are they going to address the need at wide receiver.
What if they had drafted Rashad Green in round three?
They could have.
Right? What if they had? Now, they certainly would have in round four if Sample had not been there,
right.
It sounds like, right? But what if they had? I saw at least one projection that had Rashad Green in the second round, okay? So let's say they had taken Rashad Green. Would you have been happy if they had addressed it earlier? I don't know. Maybe not. And, you know, feel however
I think a lot of fans would have been, and that's kind of the deal with Rashad Green. When they passed on him in the fourth round, it was like, well, there goes that opportunity. Like, if you're watching the draft, it was a, there goes that opportunity. And then when you watch him come back around in the fifth, it's like, I can't believe this guy is still here. Because there would have been a bunch of fans in this area that would have been completely content if they had drafted him at 36. I mean, there would have been a bunch of fans.
I don't have a bunch.
A bunch would have been fine with it, Mike. I'm telling you, I talked to a bunch of them. They would have been fine. I was being told Rashad Green by fans going into the second round.
At 36.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, a lot of fans would have been okay with that. Third round, certainly, almost everybody would have been, all right, I get that. Right? I get that. We need
fourth
a slot
round
receiver.
For sure.
And fourth round, it was like, why are they passing?
But because you're filling a need. I really think, we talked about the wild card at 36 was free safety, right? And I think that they didn't expect Can to be there. I don't think Can was nearly as glaring a need to pick up. They felt he was too good to pass up. That was a best player available kind of selection, and he may push Beatles right out of the starting lineup.
Isn't that the joy of this draft almost? It's like
create competition.
Right. With a guy like Can, it's, he becomes available to them. They're like, oh, all right, we can't pass up on this guy. They get to the fifth round with Rashad Green sitting there. They're like, ah, we can't pass on this guy. Michael Bennett in the sixth. Are you serious? This guy's still on the board? How can we possibly pass up on this guy? It's pretty incredible how it fell for
him. Oh, absolutely. And keep your fingers crossed. I don't want to jinx it, but maybe we'll be joined by, one of the newest slot receivers for the Jacksonville Jaguars at some point today on the program. I don't know who that would be. Figure it out. They did add a few wide receivers. Along the way, Neil Sterling out of Monmouth, a bigger guy, though. Looks like an outside guy to me. Regardless, let's get to these phone calls, Tony. Let's get this thing cranked up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good or bad, your impressions of the Jags draft. Keep it as succinct as possible, which is something we fail to do usually. 641-1010. Let's go to Greg first up today on Jaguars Today. Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm fine now that it's all over with, guys.
All right, so what's your impression?
I love the picks. I know these players, I've seen these players, and I know the names, so I can relate a little better. But I have one question for you on the LSU kid. Could you briefly go over why he didn't want to get drafted or trying to bypass the draft or something to that effect?
Yes. Quickly, Lyle Collins was projected by almost everybody to be a first-round pick, offensive tackle. There is a murder investigation. His former girlfriend, who was like 28, 29 years old, was pregnant, and she was murdered. The baby survived. They were able to save the baby. It's unclear as to whether or not the baby is his or not. He was wanted for questioning, said to be a person of interest but not a suspect by the police. The police are very, ever since the Richard Jewell situation in Atlanta, that's the whole person of interest thing protects them against lawsuits in large part. But his agent apparently called every team in the NFL to give him the scoop. He wasn't even there, blah, blah, blah. But he didn't go talk to the police before the draft. He's going to talk to them like today, right?
Yep.
So nobody wants to draft a guy who may be charged with murder this week or next week or somewhere soon down the line. They want to wait until he's exonerated. So this guy goes from not getting picked in the first round, then his agent announces before the second and third rounds on Friday, if he doesn't get picked by the end of the third round, he's not going to sign. And you can go, if you get drafted and you don't sign after 10 weeks of the season, you can go back into next year's draft pool. If you're undrafted, you can't go back in the draft.
Correct.
Next year. But you can pick which team you're going to sign with. So now the question will be, is he going to sign, and what is he going to sign for? And I think you're going to see this whole process wait to play out until the legal system decides whether or not to charge this guy with something, it appears. So that's that in a nutshell, as much as I could give it to you. Let's go to Gary up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, Mike, Tony. As a Dolphins fan, I love what the Dolphins did because Phillips in the second round, he can learn from Sue. I still think that the Jags should have selected Amari Cooper because, to me, Cooper, Devontae Parker, and Kevin White, their heads and shoulders above. There's a big decline in the next three. And Rashad Green is too much like Allen Robinson, the receivers they already have. And like Ron Jaworski says, points come out of the passing game. If you don't have a dynamic offense, someone to stretch the field, a big-time receiver like those guys opens it up for everybody. He opens it up for the running backs, makes it easier for the two and three receivers, for the tight end to get open. To me, I definitely would have gone with Amari Cooper, a playmaker, put points on the board. That's desperately what they needed because the defense was very serviceable, I thought, as it was. Because you look at somebody, guys like as dominant as J.J. Watt is defensively, they still don't make the playoffs.
All right, let me ask you. All right, let me ask you, Gary. And I appreciate the opinion. Who is that dominant number one wide receiver on the two teams that played in the Super Bowl? On either team, who is it?
Yeah, but they got a better all-around team, Evan.
Oh, exactly, exactly. They do, don't they? They have a better all-around team. That's what they're trying to build, a good all-around team. I mean, look, would they love to have Amari Cooper? Sure they would.
Sure.
But not at the expense of Dante Fowler. Gary, I appreciate the call, and that's fine.
It's all done different ways. It's not everything in the NFL. There's not one way to win. There's not one way to win. The quarterback is the biggest shortcut to finding a way to win in the NFL.
Absolutely.
And if Blake Bortles turns out to be the quarterback that you think he's going to be, right, then Allen Robinson is going to catch 90 balls. Then Marquise Lee is going to catch 70 balls. And Allen Hurns will be fine in the slot. Then Rashad Green will excel. Like, the players that are good will look great if your quarterback is a franchise guy. I think I heard the drill this morning. Jeff Prosser was going through the list of receivers in the league, and he was looking for the highest, like, the player between the Patriots and the Seahawks that was ranked highest on the receiving list in the NFL, LaFell was 27th. That's as high as any receiver was in the NFL that was playing in the Super Bowl this year, and that is a direct reflection of how good Tom Brady and those rosters are for those two football teams right now, because they were dominant in other areas of the game, not necessarily with their wide receiver groups.
Right, and that's fine. Look, the Jags have what they hope will be a dominant tight end, building what they hope will be a dominant offensive line. I mean, that's the thing. Tony, this is the thing that they've really worked on here in this offseason. How many times did we talk about it during the season last year? Nothing's going to work. None of it's going to work until you get more offensive line help. Jeremy Parnell, walk-in starter. Doug Marrone, first of all, should probably start there as the offensive line coach, well-regarded, and he loves the tape on Parnell. It's not as extensive as you'd like it to be, but what he's seen. Then you get Wisniewski. The tape's plenty extensive. He started every game in his career that he was active for, 61 out of a possible 64 games in his four-year career in Oakland.
Yep.
If he's healthy in training camp, which he expects to be, going to push to start at center. Then you get Can, who is, again, by many regarded as a top 45, top 50 prospect to get him in the third round to at least push the competition with Zane Beatles. You love Linder. Now the key is Jokel. The key is going to be Luke Jokel.
Right.
Can he take a big step forward here? If he does, well, then all of a sudden you're going to have one of the best young offensive lines in football, potentially. Again, all that's got to work. I'm not saying everything will work in harmony exactly, but that's the vision for it, and I like what they've done on the offensive line.
Sure. 96, I go back to, you look at the history of this franchise in Jacksonville. 96, the last half of that season was magical, right? I mean, it was. It was magical what they were able to accomplish. But the most dominant season this team ever had was in 99 when they had the right tackle, to go along with Tony Boselli, and they got Fred Taylor as the dynamic running back in that backfield as well. The point being, Jimmy and Keenan were here, right? They were here, and when they added the running back and another piece on that offensive line, they became dominant on that side of the ball with the pieces they already had in place. There are different ways to build it, and it happens across the league constantly. It doesn't mean that if you're number three, you have to take a wide receiver because you weren't scoring points last year.
All right, let's go across the pond to Christoph over in the UK, who he sends me a direct message. I think you got one too as well, in all caps, so I know he was excited, that said he was in the Jaguars UK war room on Saturday. Christoph, how are you? How did you end up in the Jaguars UK war room?
I am still buzzing for being in the war room and stuff, but I was actually down at the Jaguars UK draft party, and myself and some friends are going to be trying to, like, spread the word of the Bold Suit Brigade UK and stuff like that, and we were allowed to interview Marcus Stroud. So they took, they gave me the opportunity to go with Marcus Stroud to the TV studio where he was going to be announcing the pick with George Bedford, the guy who won the competition to announce the draft picks over here. And I was actually, they brought me into the war room. There was like a TV studio, like a small little TV studio off to one room. And then there was the war room. And in this room was a phone, a whole bunch of piece of papers on this table with, I guess, all the guys left in the later rounds of the draft and how to spell their names and the schools that they went to and stuff like that. And then we were literally sitting in this room, and this, like, woman would be on this phone and say, like, Tampa Bay is on the clock, Tennessee, one pick out, Jacksonville, two picks out. And then it would say, Tampa Bay, pick is in, Tennessee, you're on the clock, and stuff like that. And then the phone call would come in, the girl would write the name down, hand the card to the girl. Another girl would run it into the TV studio, and then Marcus Stroud and the guy would read the pick out. And it was the most tense atmosphere I've ever been a part of in my entire life. You could literally cut the tension with a knife. It went so quiet when the pick was called in. It was unreal. It was an amazing experience.
Listen, we're glad you had that. Give us quickly, because we got to move along. We got a lot of people stacked up, and we'll later in the week we'll get your Avengers 2 report. And thanks for holding off from spoiling it for me. But give us your thoughts overall on the Jags draft.
The Dante Fowler pick, I was surprised with. I was expecting Leonard Williams as well. But all the other picks, you know, guys from big schools that people have heard of, so players from big schools play on good teams, so hopefully that translates over to us and we get some, hopefully a lot of We Believe in Victory chants on the NFL Network coming up soon.
Right on, brother. Well, listen, man, we got to run, but we're glad you got that experience, and thanks for sharing it with us, and hopefully it turns out as good as we all hope this draft class will be.
Okay, then, cool.
You got it, buddy. All right, there he goes, our buddy Christoph over in the UK, who got to watch the Avengers a week earlier than we did, Tony. But I'll forgive him for that, because I finally watched it over the weekend.
Sure.
No time to get to that today. Rashad Greene will join the program this morning at 11:15, so we'll push Dane Brugger back a few minutes, get his thoughts on the Jags draft. So one of the newest acquisitions of your Jacksonville Jaguars will be on the phone with us coming up in less than an hour. More your call straight ahead, 641-1010. It's a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. Jaguars today continue on 1010XL 92.5 FM. 30 minutes away from Rashad Greene, new Jaguar wide receiver picked in the fifth round out of Florida State, all-time leading receiver for the Seminoles. He'll join us here on Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Money. North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories is Wild West Guns and Gold. Anything from revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between, they'll meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA. Guaranteed. Visit Guns for Jacks. That's Guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or stop by Wild West Guns and Gold on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor on Jaguars Today. You know the number here, 641-1010. We have one open phone line we're about to fill, but in the meantime, let's go to Sheldon, who's been hanging on. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL. Hi, Sheldon. How are you?
Hey, man, I'm good. I am pumped. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm a new season ticket holder, man.
You mean new as of when? When did you get your season tickets?
New as of about a week ago.
Okay, so you're ready to go. You really like the direction things are going. So
I was thinking Williams or Fowler all the time. I mean, and when you look at our schedule, Mike, I mean we play Drew Brees, we got Cam Newton, we got Jameis Winston, we got Marcus Mariota twice, we got Matt Ryan, Joe Flacco. We got to get the boys on the ground. If we don't, we're gonna have a long season. And so that's why I was taking defense the whole time. I mean, I like the Yeldon pick and the Rashard Green, but for me, I was equally high on either Leonard Williams or Dante Fowler. So I'm good, man. I'm ready to go.
All right, Sheldon. Congrats on being a new season ticket holder as well, Tony. It's not just those guys. Odrick, right? Scuda, mm-hmm. House, Sergio Brown will battle with Sample for that free safety spot. That's what it looks like right now on paper, right? So you're adding competition, quality. You add Michael Bennett to that offense, where Mayock had him graded as a second rounder. Said he was one of the best interior pass rushers in the draft this year. So, you know, look, on paper they hit home runs, I think, across the board. You don't play it on paper, but
no.
You'd rather have that than the opposite. You'd rather have that than everybody panning it and all of us scratching our heads. Look, you may not have liked the picks. I think most people can understand that Fowler was in the conversation. That, all right, they liked Yeldon. You knew they were going to draft a running back. Maybe he's not the one you wanted, or maybe they didn't get him at the point you thought they should have gotten him. But there's been talk, I already saw, that Dallas would have taken Yeldon in the second round. And that probably freed him up to go the Randy Gregory route. They ultimately opted not to draft any running back in the draft. So who knows? Who's to say? Maybe Yeldon's sitting there in the third round. Maybe he's not. And I think Caldwell and Bradley have proven that when they love a guy and he's a higher rated player than others, they're going to take that guy. So they did it once again.
Yeah.
Let's get Jimmy up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, fellas. I'm absolutely astounded in a three-year period in what Dave Caldwell and Gus have done in 85% turnover in the roster. You've added quality depth. You've added quality starters. And I think that Dave has absolutely mastered the art of pairing value and need at a position in the draft and then taking that player and being in a position to take that player, not sacrificing draft picks for anything, making sure they have the inadequate amount of draft picks to add the depth. I mean, AJ Cam was a value pick, but he's going to start. I mean, the most underrated signing, in my opinion, in the offseason was Wojnarowski, because now you have a starting center caliber player that plays at a high level. I mean, Zane Beatles, I don't know how he's going to keep a job. I have no idea how he's going to be able to keep a job, judging by the way he played last year. And then to get Michael Bennett in the sixth round, I've never seen anybody fall that fast for absolutely no reason. Is there a reason? Did we miss something? Do you guys know?
Not that I'm aware of, but we'll get into that with Dane Brugger. We pushed him back to 11:35 this morning. I think he was high. Look, who wasn't? They were all high on Michael Bennett. You know, there, as Caldwell said, Tony, and you brought this up to me on Friday when I called in from Chicago, that they're privy to a lot of stuff that we're not privy to.
Yeah.
Right? So when they take in Fowler, you know, that could mean, you know, you heard the rumor that there are labrum issues with Leonard Williams. You know, he dismissed it. The Jets dismissed it. Maybe there aren't. You know, who knows? You know what I mean? But we don't know every single detail. What we see are what we're allowed to see. And what we can only get to a certain level with these guys. We don't, you know, we're not behind closed doors with them like the staffs are, and interviewing them and studying that film constantly. So, you know, look, I like the Fowler pick. Wouldn't have been a pick I would have made. What have you. Michael Bennett does seem like a steal in the later rounds.
He really does.
You know, and here with Zane Beatles, maybe Zane Beatles gets his back up and says, you know what? I got to play a lot better than I did last year. Most give him credit for playing better in the last six games. They say the film will back up that he played better in the last six games. So maybe he uses that as a stepping stone and as motivation to go out there and say, I'm going to hold this guy off. I'm going to play. Either way, you're going to get increased play and better play, you would think, at the left guard spot now.
No, you would think. And look, when they made the pick of Can, I put it out there on Twitter for everyone that, again, a lot of people wanting them to go wide receiver there. There were options obviously available to him there in the third round that were going to be going away over the course of the next couple of rounds. And when they took an offensive guard, everyone's going crazy. And I'm like, guys, 71. That's how many sacks they gave up last year.
How many times did we hear the refrain, Tony, Nothing's going to get fixed on this offense until they fix that
right.
line.
Right. You want to know why the Cowboys are dominant? I get it. Dez Bryant is a great player. DeMarco Murray is a great running back. Tony Romo is a really good quarterback in this league. The Dallas Cowboys had those kind of pieces in place for 4 or 5 years now. The offensive line got really good. They got dominant on that side of the ball. Everything feeds off of that front line. Why has Tom Brady been so good for so many years? He's a great, great player. But Bill Belichick has always kept an offensive line in front of him. Tom Brady doesn't get hit like a lot of other quarterbacks in this league gets hit. So they're trying to do something to solidify an offensive line that was maybe the biggest single issue for this football team last year, and they've addressed it 3 or 4 times in this one offseason.
6-4-1-10-10. Let's go to Jerome next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome. Hello, Jerome. Yeah, what's
hey,
up?
Hey, how y'all doing today? Can y'all
good,
hear me now?
Good. We do.
Hello?
Jerome, we hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I just want to say I really think the T.J. Yeldon pick, I like it at running back, how even though the other running backs were rated ahead of him, but when you look at him, I just like him. I think he's just as good as the rest of them, the top ones. His vision and everything and his instincts and his patience, I think he's good. The other one is Fowler. I really thought that when Leonard dropped, I thought they were going to take Leonard. But I guess they took Fowler because I was big on a Cooper. But Fowler, to me, I mean, he's a beast. I mean, I seen the way he came and blocked that lineman when he pulled, that guard when he pulled on that Eastern Kentucky game or whatever. How he just laid him out. I mean, the dude is a beast, and I think he's the next player. That position is solidified for the next 8 to 10 years. And what you think?
All right. Thank you, Jerome. Let's hope so.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, here we go. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. On this date, just some birthdays to note. Ron Stark, longtime punter, first at Florida State, where he was a 4-year starter, then 16 years in the National Football League. Made 4 Pro Bowls in that time, born on this date in 1959. He's 56 years old. A couple of former Jaguars as well. Montel Owens, born on this date in 1984. Happy 31st to the 2-time Pro Bowl special teamer. And Zach Potter, former Jaguar tight end, born on this date in 1986. 29 years young. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. Their mission to fabricate and install the highest quality fencing product for you at a competitive price and give you unsurpassed customer service. You can get all that by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have declined to pick up the 5th-year option on running back Doug Martin. The option would have paid Martin $5.621 million next year. After a fantastic rookie campaign where he rushed for over 1,400 yards and 11 touchdowns for the Bucs, he hasn't been able to put those kind of numbers up between the last 2 seasons combined, so this could be his last season down there in Tampa Bay. The Oakland Raiders have released wide receiver James Jones, who led the team in receptions last year after signing Michael Crabtree in free agency, drafting Amari Cooper at the number 4 spot in the NFL draft. They have decided to release Jones, who is now 31 years old, and is free to sign with any team he chooses. So we'll see where he winds up.
We will see where he winds up. By the way, I'm told via the Twitters that the streaming is experiencing difficulties right now. I don't know if it's an overload. I have no idea what's going on. It's bad timing award. If you're listening or trying to listen on stream, you probably aren't hearing my explanation right now or my talking about it. But
sure.
Regardless, in about 10 minutes or a little less than that, Rashad Green, new Jaguar wide receiver and the all-time leading receiver at Florida State University, will join us, 5th-round selection of the Jags in Saturday's portion of the NFL draft. Speaking of which, let's clean up a little house cleaning here, Tony. We had the Foundation Professionals of Florida predict the pick contest. Going on. We've had the replica hard hat, 20th season commemorative hard hat for the Jags signed by a multitude of players and coaches here, including Gus Bradley, Blake Bortles, Luke Jokel is on there, Marquise Lee is on there, number of guys. And we had a lot of entries that got one player right. And typically that player was either Fowler, Yeldon, or Green as being the selection. one person, which was pretty amazing to me, was able to nail for the Jags their seventh round pick, Ben Koyak, the tight end out of Notre Dame, but that was the only one they got right. We had three people get two answers correct, or two submissions out of five. You're only allowed to submit five names. Christopher Mason on Facebook had Dante Fowler and T.J. Yeldon. That's pretty good to go along with some guys he didn't. They didn't take. Christopher Moore had, was it Christopher Moore who had a Dante Fowler and it wasn't Christopher Moore. I'm trying to look for it, but it was someone had Dante Fowler and Rashad Greene. Brian Roberts, that's who it was. I see it now. Dante Fowler and Rashad Greene. But ultimately, we went with Amelia Schrey, who had T.J. Yeldon and Rashad Greene, and we went with her selection on the tiebreaker because we felt that as the draft goes on, you know, it's one thing to sit there. You can figure out that Dante Fowler is going to be available at three. You know he's going to be available. Yeah. At no point as the draft goes on, do you know Rashad Greene's going to be available in a spot where the Jags would reasonably want to select him? So I just thought the deeper you go, the more difficult it is to pick later round selections. So Amelia Schrey, we deem to be the winner of the Predict the Pick contest. So congratulations
Congrats.
To her. Congrats to all of you out there for listening. You're already winners, I like to say. All right, we'll take a timeout now so we can come back on time with Rashad Greene, new Jaguar wide receiver, and get his thoughts on, did he know Jacksonville was a team that had significant interest in him, and what's going to be like to play with his former teammate Telvin Smith, and just right down the road from Tallahassee, so to speak. That's coming up next. Jaguars Today continues. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, I think with the quarterbacks, they have a tendency to go, they want receivers they can trust. You know, they're going to run good routes. They're going to catch the balls that are thrown to them. They're disciplined. They're tough. And that's what he has. He has those traits. I could see that it could develop to where the quarterbacks really trust him, really trust him. And I think he's shown that over the course of time.
Just his instincts, you know, he's a very good football player. He has a knack for getting open. He's got good feel for zones. He's got excellent hands. He's got good run after catch. And, you know, for special teams-wise, we feel like he can come in and really compete for that punt returning job.
Those are the thoughts of Jaguar head coach Gus Bradley and Jaguar general manager Dave Caldwell, courtesy of Jaguars.com, on fifth-round rookie wide receiver Rashad Greene. And Caldwell will go on to say, stunned that he was still available, as they strongly considered him in round four. But, you know, as the case may be, there's multiple needs and multiple guys you want to get, and they're just happy that Rashad Greene is a member of the Jaguars, and we're happy that he joins us here on Jaguars Today on this Monday morning. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you. Rashad, good morning. Welcome to Jacksonville. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
Are you excited? Tell us, did you know Jacksonville was a possible landing spot? Did they show interest to you before the draft?
They definitely did. They showed, you know, a lot of interest before the draft, and it was actually, you know, one of the places that, you know, I really wanted to go personally because of the staff, the coaches, just the feel for the place and the environment was something that, you know, I always look for, and I felt comfortable there. So, you know, it's definitely a dream come true, and everything, you know, worked out the way it was supposed to be.
I know the fans love hearing that you're looking forward to being here in Jacksonville. This is where you wanted to wind up. But as somebody who was projected to potentially be a third, fourth round pick, how frustrating was it watching those picks come off the board without your name being called for you and where you think your talents should be taken?
You know, I definitely understand, you know, the process of the draft, and, you know, anything could happen, and, you know, different teams need different things. So I didn't get much frustrated, you know, about not coming off the board, you know, as soon as I thought I was. You know, I knew, you know, things were going to happen, you know, the way they were supposed to be. You know, I just kept my faith and, you know, look what God did. You know, he put me where I truly wanted to be, at a place where, you know, I enjoy, is close to home. And, you know, what more perfect place than Jacksonville? You know, I have family there. I'm just excited, man. So I'm not really worried about, you know, where I was drafted. You know, as long as I got that opportunity, that's all that matters.
Well, the opportunity is certainly here for you, Rashad. We've watched you plenty of times, so we know what kind of player you are. But in your own words, and I'm sure you had to go through this process leading up to the draft and interviews with other teams, give us the scouting report. What do you bring to the table?
I bring consistency to the table. You know, I'm definitely a dependable guy, trustworthy. I can catch the ball. I can run great routes. And, you know, I can definitely bring things to special team as well as far as my punt returning ability. And, you know, my running after the catch, I have that big play ability. You know, I've done it all my career because of the type of guy I am, just wanting to be a consistent receiver, which is more important than anything else, is being consistent and dependable. You know, I need my quarterback to know that I'm going to be where I'm supposed to be so he can trust me and I can trust him. So those are my biggest traits.
Did the Jaguars talk to you about, you know, there's been a need here for a while for somebody dynamic in those special teams as a punt returner? Did they talk to you specifically about that?
Yes, they did. He asked me, you know, did I want to return punts in the NFL? And I told him, yes, you know, I definitely do. And when I got my phone call, you know, that was something that they brought up as well. You know, I'd be able to, you know, help out, with, you know, offensively, you know, being able to play anywhere on the field as a receiver and also help out, you know, special teams wherever I'm needed, whether it's, you know, punt returner or anything that, you know, I can do to help this team, you know, win games and be successful.
Rashad Green, new Jaguar wide receiver here with us this morning. Rashad, I read a story on Seminoles.com where Jaguar wide receiver coach Jerry Sullivan said he met you at a train station in Indianapolis and he just was struck by how professional and humble you are and very businesslike. What do you know about Jerry Sullivan? How much do you know about this guy coming in?
Without doubt, you know, at the train station, he was the first person that approached me and that was the first person I sat down and talked with. And I definitely, you know, like his demeanor, you know, as a person and as a coach, you know, I could tell he's that, you know, that coach that's hands-on, you know, going to talk you through what you need to get done and show you as well, you know, a lot like, you know, the coach I had at Florida State, which is Coach Dawsey, you know, doesn't seem like a big screamer or anything like that. Just want to help you get better. And I always remember that he was one of the first guys that approached me. So that was very big. And it was the same at Florida State. Coach Dawsey was the first person that showed interest in me. So I definitely took that into consideration.
Coach Sullivan will get out there. He'll show you how to run the route. He will run it himself. He may not be a big screamer, but he is a very demanding guy. He's worked with some of the best and may be considered, honestly, the best wide receiver coach in football. I'm not kidding you about that. And he said something to Tony and I last year, basically, I don't care if they think they can run routes or anything. They haven't been coached by me yet, so they don't know to do it the right way. That's his mentality. Like, you know, as good as you are, he's going to expect perfection out of you. Sounds like something you expect out of yourself, too.
Yes, sir.
I know Jaguars director of scouting Kyle O'Brien, his quote when talking about you after the draft pick was made, Rashad, he's just sort of an old soul who loves football. What does that mean to you?
You know, that pretty much sums it up, you know, and he, you know, hit it on the head, actually. You know, I get that all the time that, you know, I act like an older person because of my demeanor and just, you know, how I carry myself. And, you know, I definitely love the game of football. That's why, you know, answering your question, you know, about being frustrated about not coming off the board as soon as, you know, people had scouted me to wasn't an issue because, you know, it's just about playing football. And I just needed that opportunity. And because I love the game so much and it will never be about anything but football for me. You know, everything else are falling into place where it's supposed to be. You know, I just love the game. And that's what I want to do, you know, as a profession, you know, be a professional athlete and be one of the best.
You know, Telvin Smith here on the opposite side of the football, your teammate in college, you guys had a lot of success. Are you looking forward to reuniting with him and having a familiar face, at least, in the locker room?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to reuniting with Telvin, you know, just competing with each other. We did it in college, and, you know, I'm sure we're going to do it here on the next level. Man, that, you know, he's he was there already a year. You know, I'm pretty sure he'll help me out with getting adjusted to everything. And, you know, he's just a great brother to me.
All right, Rashad, we got a fan that tweeted in. He wants to know what number you're going to wear. I don't think 80 is going to be available with Julius Thomas coming here in the offseason. Have you thought about that yet?
I actually haven't. You know, I'm not sure what's available. And, you know, really it doesn't even matter. Just give me a number and I'll take it and brand it.
There you go. Make it your own, man. Hey, when can we expect to see you in town?
Thursday.
All right.
Got no, were you watching the rest of the draft? Because, you know, the first round pick, Dante Fowler, comes across the stage with those shoes. And I've heard he had to give those shoes up to get the number he wanted on this roster. I don't know if you got that kind of swag to trade for a number if it's one you want.
He doesn't
Rashad.
Seem to care. I think Rashad's good. He'll keep his shoes, man. Rashad, listen, man, we hope you have a long and successful career right here in Jacksonville. And lots of touchdowns, lots of receptions, lots of yards, ultimately leading to some championships here. Glad you're excited to be part of it. Sounds like you're really happy with the landing spot. I know Jaguar fans ready to embrace you. So, you know, just congratulations for all your hard work. The hard work starts anew on Thursday when you get in here. And we look forward to following your career. And thanks for taking some time out with us today.
All right, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right, you got it. Rashad Green, former Florida State Seminole now, and a member of your Jacksonville Jaguars, hitting the First Coast on Thursday. Tony, you wait. You think Jerry Sullivan's all mild-mannered? He's not always mild-mannered.
No, he's not.
All right, but you couldn't really have a better guy, I think, to fine-tune the nuances of the pro game with than Jerry Sullivan coaching him up. So there you go. Tony, he's still going to be the rook in the room. I don't care how old of a soul he is. He's still the low guy on the totem pole in terms of experience as far as that goes. But if he can come in and help them out, I don't think they will care one bit that. So appreciate Rashad Green taking a few minutes to spend with us this morning. If you'd like to get in, 641-1010. Still got a little time for you as well before we get out of here today. And coming up, Dane Brugler from CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. His thoughts on the Jags draft as a whole, Tony. It strikes me. And look, I know Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have said, look, it's not like we won't take chances on guys. We feel like we've built a pretty good culture here.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to take chances just to take chances, right?
Right.
I really like to find out if we'll ever find out. Was Doriel Green Beckham on their board? Was he off the board? Was Randy Gregory on or off the board? Those kind of situations where clearly those guys slid further than their talent may have dictated they should because of off-the-field situations. But when you hear Rashad Green sounds buttoned down, all about football. You're never going to hear me getting in trouble. I'm all about this. This is what I want. He's a professional guy. Dante Fowler, the hard worker, loves the game. You're never going to have any questions about it. They love the effort he showed on film consistently, round after round, pick after pick, free agent signing after free agent signing.
Mm-hmm.
It is a theme. Will they take a chance on an occasional guy? I'm sure they will, and I'm sure they have. But if they can do it that way with guys that love football, right, and prioritize it and realize what an opportunity they have to play it, they're clearly building the roster and have been doing that since day one with that in mind as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys that love to play the game, and it's always fun. I know it's one of the things I like most about Blake Bortles. Yeah, he struggled through a lot of his rookie year, but he's working, right? I mean, he's constantly working, trying to get better at what he's doing, and that's the kind of personality it seems that they're drafting and bringing into this building is guys that they love the game of football. And Rashad Green, who's a guy that we've been watching play college football for a handful of years now, you watch him from afar. You don't get to know college players at all, basically. They're just guys who show up on Saturday on your TV, and when you get the opportunity to talk to him a little bit, hear a little bit more about him, he's an impressive guy, and that he's that dedicated to the game of football, I think, is one of the things that they prioritize when bringing guys in here. I don't know how many character risks they're taking. I know they took a guy coming off an ACL injury in the fourth round last year. That's a bit of a risk, and it's worked out for him to this point. And that's because Aaron Colvin loves the game of football and worked his tail off to get back in a position to get on the field and help this football team out. And those are the types of guys they're bringing in. Let's hope it turns into wins this year.
Guys, I just got a call from Ryan O'Halloran. And he says that Doriel Green Beckham was on the Jaguars board.
He was on their board.
Correct.
Okay, good to know. Thank you, Ryan O'Halloran.
At least 37.
For chiming in on that.
He was at least one spot below TJ Yeldon.
Right,
yeah.
That's where he was because they said they felt – because I told you I probably would have gone after Thursday. I probably would have taken a chance on Doriel Green Beckham at 36 and looked to get a running back in the next round. Doesn't mean I'm right, and I'm not upset. I'm not mad about it. I think they got good players. We'll find out if they were the right players. And now I will root for Doriel Green Beckham to not fulfill any potential he has.
That's right.
With his particular
don't hurt
landing
anybody,
spot.
But sports, blow up. Pick.
Radio weekday mornings from.
Not really sure what that happened there, so let's keep it going.
All right. Well, good to know that just.
I haven't touched
we
anything.
Love those guys as well. All right. Sports. Wait a minute. Sports Final Radio.
That's like that's Hicken and Prosser from years ago, right?
Well, that's a while back. Since the name has changed to protect the innocent.
I had my back turned to the computer, and all of a sudden that fired. So
maybe you shouldn't turn your back on the computer. It's a lesson to be learned.
Ghosts in the studio.
All right. Whatever the case may be.
Doriel Green Beckham.
Thanks again. Thanks to Rashad Green again for joining us here. Dane Brugler, CBS Sports, NFLDraftScout.com. Moments away on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on Jaguars Today, 1010 XL 92.5 FM. All right, thanks again to Rashad Green for joining us a minute ago. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday continues. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight in a moment. But first, spent a few minutes here with Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com, NFLDraftScout.com, and we talk with Dane frequently leading up to the draft. And, you know, Tony, it would have been hard to find a guy who didn't grade the Jaguars draft well, but Dane was particularly impressed by what they did, and he joins us now. Good morning, Dane. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I imagine everyone in Jacksonville is doing well. Like you said, what Jaguars were able to do over the weekend, really impressive.
I think, you know, if you look at it as a whole, I think the vast majority are, there are people that, look, if you don't draft the guy they thought you should take, then they're just not going to be happy. And there was the Leonard right. Williams, Amari Cooper school up at the top. There were people that thought they should have gone wide receiver in round two. All legitimate options, but overall, why so impressed with what the Jags were able to do?
Well, you know, I thought they got excellent value, and, you know, when you're picking early in every round, you should get good value. You should be hitting on those picks, and I think the Jaguars did. And with the number three overall pick, you're right. We're going to be comparing Dante Fowler to Amari Cooper, to Leonard Williams, you know, down the road, three, four, 5 years down the road. So time will tell if Fowler was the right pick, but I absolutely think it was the right pick. Can't blame them at all getting that pass rusher. Dante Fowler is just so relentless. He does not quit. I think they did a nice job keeping him in state. And then in the second round, picking up TJ Yeldon. I think a lot of people maybe were surprised that Yeldon was that third running back off the board. But, you know, when last Thursday and I did a second round mock, I did have TJ Yeldon going to the Jaguars because I know they did some homework on him. I know they liked the player. And with T.J. Yeldon, he can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do a lot of things for you, so I think a versatile addition. And then keeping with the SEC theme, going with the A.J. Cowan in the third round out of South Carolina, a terrific resume. And I can't believe he got through the second round. So to get him in a third round, terrific value.
Yeah, you mentioned T.J. Yeldon there at the top of the second round. And I had the sense on Friday the Jags – we're probably going running back there at the top of the second round, and it was going to be whichever one they had fallen in love with. And Yeldon was a name we were hearing a lot over the course of the last week or so leading up to the draft. Was he rising on a lot of draft boards, or was Jacksonville kind of out on a limb with this guy as their third-ranked running back that high?
No, I think it's just a case of Todd Gurley being that number one guy, Melvin Gordon being that number two guy. And then after that, it's just there was no consensus. You talk about different teams having different orders of those next tiers of running back. Depends on what flavor of running back you wanted. Duke Johnson in Miami, Florida brings something a little different. For other teams, he was that next guy off the board. Amir Abdullah out of Nebraska, same type of thing. Tevin Coleman. Jay Ajayi might have been that pick if it wasn't for his knee issues. So he fell down the board. So for T.J. Yeldon, I think he just brings something different to the table and what the Jaguars were looking for. I'm not sold on T.J. Yeldon being a consistent between the tackles type of runner, but out in space, he's outstanding. He's shifty feet. I call him Mr. Smooth because he has the agility, the movement skills. It looks like he floats at times. And so I think T.J. Yeldon is going to bring another dynamic to that offense that the Jaguars maybe didn't have before.
Let's jump ahead as we talk here with Dane Brugler, CBSSports.com, to the fourth round where they took James Sample, you described as a steal in round four. Give us your thoughts on him coming in.
Yeah, I love the James Sample pick. To me, he was the number two safety in this class behind only Landon Collins. He was overlooked at Louisville because Gerard Holloman had 14 interceptions. But when I turned on the tape of James Sample, I was far more impressed with what he showed. I think he's a legitimate free safety and strong safety. I think he can play either. I really like the competitor that he shows. He's a hunter out there. Diagnosed skills are there. He can stack at the point of attack. He makes plays all over the field. And so I think he's still developing in some areas, his instincts. But to me, he's a guy, he catches on quickly. He did a great job with his zone responsibilities at Louisville. And so I think, and I even put this in my scouting report, the sample size is not what you want, but nonetheless, even pardon the terrible pun, is a very, very talented player that if you could get him outside the top 100, that's just great value.
For a Jaguars team that was looking to upgrade the slot receiver position, they finally go wide receiver in the fifth round with Rashad Green. How effective can he be in the slot for this team?
Oh, gosh, he's going to eat up the middle of the field. That's what he does. And if he can stay healthy, that's really the biggest concern. He's 180 pounds. He's not going to be a guy that's comfortably going to carry 190, 200 pounds. So he's always going to be in that 180 range. But he's so good in the middle of the field in open space. He knows how to manipulate defenders. He knows how to, get open. He's very savvy. There's a reason that he's Florida State's all-time leading receiver. You just look at the production. It got better every single year. This past year as a senior, he had 99 catches. He's not going to average over 16, 17 yards a catch. He's not a game breaker who's going to be a legitimate vertical threat. But over the middle of the field where he can operate in space and really manipulate that middle of the field, Rashad Green, he has a chance to be a really, really good player. As long as he stays healthy, that 180 pounds will worry some people, and that's probably why he fell to the fifth round. But as long as he stays healthy and on the field, Rashad Green will be a very good player.
I was watching coverage on Saturday, Dane, and Mel Kiper for about 10 hours, it seemed like, kept saying, Michael Bennett's the best player available on the board, and there he is in the sixth round. A lot of people had him projected a lot higher. Give us a scouting report on this guy, and in your opinion, why did he last as long as he did?
Yeah, and I've been watching Michael Bennett the last 4 years, and once he got on the field, he was so disruptive for the Buckeyes. He was really the unsung hero of the Ohio State national title run last year. What he did in that Wisconsin game in the Big Ten championship, whether he was on the field or not, Ohio State was winning that game. But Michael Bennett, what he was able to do for that defense was just outstanding down the stretch. With Michael Bennett, you have above average initial quickness. He can beat blockers in the gap. That fluid movement skills for a 295 pounder is outstanding, very controlled, does an excellent job for single blockers. Not necessarily a power guy who's going to consistently work through bodies, but he plays above his measurables. So he's 6'2", 295, but he plays above that. And so if he can turn those flashes into consistency, then I think you have a really good player here. And I think the biggest reason, durability really hurt him. He missed some games earlier in his career. He's really battled this right groin pull that really plagued him down the stretch as a senior, and something that kept him out of the Senior Bowl, kept him out of the scouting combine. So as long as Michael Bennett can stay healthy, I think the theme of this Jaguars draft was just value. And Michael Bennett in the sixth round, that's just tremendous value.
What can you tell me about the two seventh-round picks, Neil Sterling and Ben Koyak?
With Sterling, you have a good size receiver, a player that obviously played at a lower level of competition, but he was productive. He had over 200 catches at Monmouth, and when he had a chance to go to the All-Star game, he was at a college gridiron showcase. He had a chance to really kind of show what he was able to do, and I think he impressed some scouts there. But he's a big body human being, a guy that can use that size, box out defenders. So a good pick there in the seventh round. You're taking flyers on these players. And then also in the seventh round with Ben Koyak, a player I thought would go earlier than that. I had a bit more of a middle round grade on him. But, you know, Notre Dame in that pipeline of tight ends with guys like Kyle Rudolph and Carlson, Eifert, Koyak's that next guy. Now, he's not quite as talented as those other three names that I mentioned. He wasn't as productive, only 43 catches over his career. But and there's not much that really separates him as a tight end, but he's just very steady, very consistent. He's not a guy that's going to drop many balls. He's also not a guy that's going to separate very, very often in coverage. And so nothing really flashy about Koyak, but he's very steady, has a chance to be a solid backup in this league.
And really, that's what they're looking for. I mean, Mercedes Lewis is back for one more year. They signed Julius Thomas to be their primary pass catcher. And I think, you know, the hope is maybe Koyak develops into that steady number two tight end role here. Final thought with you, Dane. Nick Marshall, the most heralded name on the Jaguars undrafted free agent signing list. Can he make that transition? I know he came into Georgia as a corner before ending up as a quarterback at Auburn. In your mind, can he one day contribute to an NFL team?
I think so. And for a player that's 6'1.5", 207 pounds, and, you know, he runs a legitimate 4.5, you know, he has the measurables that you want, that big size. Really surprised no one took a chance on him late in the draft. But for the Jaguars, that's a, you know, great a chance, taking a chance on him as an undrafted free agent. We'll see how he does returning to the secondary. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, and he did okay there. Considering he was just kind of thrown out there and asked, you know, go cover these guys. So, as a quarterback, you know, he doesn't have the accuracy or the requisite skills to stay a quarterback, but the cornerback transition is really intriguing because of his size, because of his athleticism. And, you know, he's a very willing kid. He wants to be a cornerback. You know, he's not going to be one of these guys that is, you know, he's not Pat White where he wants to be a quarterback and, you know, reluctantly moves the corner. He wants to be a corner. He wants to play in the NFL. So, I definitely wouldn't count him out.
All right, we will not do that, and we're excited to see these guys on the field and hope they live up to all the draft grades and praise that they've received, none more highly than Dane Brugler. Dane, we appreciate all the spots you did with us leading up to the draft and certainly coming back to recap it. I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon. Thanks for the time, man.
That sounds great. Thanks, guys.
All right, you got it. Dane Brugler of NFL Draft Scout, CBSSports.com. Tony, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. Just asking fans today, what's your overall impression of the draft? What kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Isaiah. Good overall, but if Fowler doesn't pan out, I'm always going to tweet, hashtag should have picked Vic. Well, he hasn't worked out yet either.
You know what? That's why I said, so what, even if Beasley doesn't pan out, he says yes. At that point, that became ridiculous.
We'll see. The Duke of Duval, added depth, competition, and starters can't complain. From Ortapalooza, zero head scratchers, absurd value late, and only one, wait, who's that? With Sterling from Christoph, quality of players very high, so hopefully a lot of We Believe in Victory chants on NFL Network. From Cristiano, impossible to look at it and not be excited about what is ahead. From Stevie at Irish Jaguar, yay, is all he said. From David, I'm optimistic and feel they got great value in each round. From Black Dog Express, awesome draft picks and free agents, a good sign when Vegas likes it. Hashtag props to Caldwell. From Josh, every pick made sense, met needs, and created depth. From Eric, I really like the draft. Great talent and value all across the rounds. Amazing. From Kevin, one of the best drafts in franchise history. First and second day was great, but third day was crazy good. And hopefully we feel as good about it in 2018, what these guys look like in this draft, as we do the day after the draft is over here in 2015.
People happy on Facebook, Tony. Joshua Lee writes, a kick-ass draft class, man. Derek Stewart, not flashy, just good football players. A lot riding on Fowler. Hashtag Jaguars today. Chris Wayne said, huge fan of this draft class. Don and Fuego, excited about Fowler. The rest of the picks were excellent and great value. Don't sleep on Bennett. Baxter Hill said, in regard to all the people saying we need a playmaker a la Amari Cooper, we got our playmaker months ago. His name is Julius Thomas. Draft with that in mind and gave them an A++. Johnny Crum, very excited about this draft class. Matthew Weldon, just not sold on Fowler. Not bad, not good. Believe Williams should have been picked or trade down to get Beasley or Bud Dupree. Yeldon, good, but will they regret not taking Duke Johnson? Khan, good, but short arms, but good, and on it went. So just kind of a average, mediocre spot there. Richard Grant, this draft gives me hope, maybe not for 2015, but for 2016. And Dustin Smith gave him an A- among the comments there, and really those were the comments there, so wasn't censoring anything out. I did read in one spot, I forget which pundit was talking about, you know, basically, don't sleep on this team. Look what they're doing. They're ready to really make an improvement. And then he goes, maybe not in 2015, maybe not in 2016. What? No. Maybe you just started paying attention
right.
to their good drafting ways, at least what we hope. I know Jeff said he thinks that Dave Caldwell's gotten A's across the board. I don't recall it being certainly as strong as this.
No.
And I think it's got progressively better each year in terms of the immediate reaction to it, which means all of nothing other than to get you fired up and get you excited. But
right.
In the end, they got to play. It doesn't matter what we think about these guys. They got to play.
It really does. I mean, 2 years ago, the draft wasn't considered very deep, so it was kind of like, eh. I mean, whatever you did 2 years ago in the draft was kind of eh. Last year, I think there were people who really liked what they did and some people that were just kind of okay on what they did with Colvin in the fourth and that kind of. They took a couple risks on some guys last year in the middle rounds that worked out for them. The fourth and fifth round picks last year worked out tremendously well. For this team, at least in year one. This year, it's unanimous. Everyone loves what the Jaguars did in this year's draft, and hopefully that works out. Again, hopefully we're looking at it in 2017, 2018 going, wow, it was as good as we thought it was.
And now they're all the dream, the vision is realized. They're all the right age. They're all peaking together in the prime of their NFL careers. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships presents the Fan Feedback Spotlight, including Tom Bush Mazda, 2015 Mazda 3, the 2015 Mazda CX-5, and the 2015 Mazda CX-9, all receiving Edmunds' Most Popular Award, and the 2015 Mazda 3, named by Kiplinger as Best in Class in the under $20,000 category. What are you waiting for? Go check out the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. An update on Twitter from Bold City Cap for the Tampa Bay game, 62 tickets away from 1,000 as the Jags fans plan to invade down in Tampa for week 5, Bortles v. Winston, as far as that goes. And one on the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar and text line, hey, Mike, wide receivers in the draft that I like for the slot and punt returns were Jameson Crowder, Tyler Lockett, who I thought they might take in round 3. I thought he would be under consideration when a few picks later Seattle moved up to get him. And Rashad Greene between rounds 2 and 4. Lanny Greene in the 5th was a great pick and need for the Jaguars. We'll close the day on that thought. A mostly unanimously positive day. I know it's not all positive because I heard it on Saturday. I heard the people calling in. So you're welcome to share your thoughts, good and bad, throughout the course of the week when we have time. Tomorrow, the plan is to have Dave Caldwell in studio here with us discussing how things played out in the draft. Hopefully more prospects, or I should say players, not prospects, more Jaguars, more new Jaguars as the week goes along as well. They'll be in town later in the week. But we'll have him on the phone as well, a la Rashad Greene, like we did today. So thanks to Tad Dickman for helping us get that set up. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. XL Primetime next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.